series entitled Unshakable, Finding Stability in an Unstable World. Because the Bible tells us as the world will grow farther and farther away from God, and the circumstances around us grow more and more unstable, that there is a firm rock in which we can stand. We can find stability in the Savior of the world. Because storms are inevitable. And in our scripture this morning, Jesus tells us exactly how we should prepare for these storms. That's why I've entitled my sermon this morning, Before the Storm. Because we all face storms, whether you're in a storm in this very moment as we sit here and as we're gathered together here this morning, or if you're approaching a storm. There are steps that God's word gives us to be able to persevere through that storm. And our text begins where the greatest sermon ever preached reaches its conclusion. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been preaching for 3 chapters to this multitude, to this crowd of people, on how they are to live through teachings like the Beatitudes, who they are to focus living their life for at the end of Matthew chapter 6. And in chapter 7, he focuses on what they are to do with these teachings. I mean, just for a moment, imagine sitting under the preaching of Jesus Christ. And he's been preaching for 3 whole chapters, different ways in which they're supposed to live their life, the things they're supposed to do. And he says, okay, here's what you are to do with these teachings. And as Jesus brings this sermon to its conclusion, he leaves every listener with one final question. What foundation are you building your life upon this morning? And we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." The only sure foundation in an unstable world is Jesus Christ. There are many foundations which people attempt to substitute to find stability, but true stability is only found in Jesus Christ. And it's best that we find that stability before the storms come. And as I was thinking about this principle of foundation and needing a sure foundation, it reminded me of a lesson I've learned as a young father. Bentley just turned 2 last month. And I've learned that the need to build different toys, different gadgets, it never stops. It feels almost like every week there's a box that shows up at the front door and it's something to assemble, something to put together. And every box says the same thing. Easy assembly, 15 minutes or less. And I have to tell you, I just have to believe, I don't think they're lying to me. I just have to believe they've never put together their own equipment. They've never put together their own toys. Because it never just takes 15 minutes. And the assembly is never just that easy. And sometimes I'll finish building something and I'll have 3 extra screws and I'll say, well, I'm sure they were just being generous. I'm sure they just included some extra in case some got lost. But I have to tell you, there's some toys that I put together for Bentley. And once I'm done putting it together, getting all the screws in it, and I set it on the ground. And if you ever built something, you put it together, you put all the screws in, you set it on the ground, and it wobbles. It's not flush with the ground, the foundation is not firm, it just starts to wobble. You're like, okay, how can I fix this? You tighten all the screws, you go back around, and it's still wobbling. And at times, I'm tempted just to say, well, it's good enough, right? I mean, it's wobbling, it's still standing. I mean, I'm sure the foundation is okay. But when it's something that Bentley is going to sit on, stand on, or climb on, I'm more cautious. Why? Because Bentley to me is precious, he's valuable, and I don't want anything happening to him because of a bad foundation. And just like us today, as we're walking with Christ, as we're building our lives day by day, even as the song talked about this morning, as we're building our lives, do we have a firm foundation this morning? The things we're focusing our life on, the things that we're building in our own life, are we just excusing the wobble, or are we addressing it? Are we going to fix it? Because in much the same way as you wouldn't leave a wobbling toy for a toddler to climb on, every one of us is building a life. And Jesus says the difference between a life that stands and one that collapses isn't how impressive it looks, it's what it's built upon. So the question we're going to seek to answer this morning is, how can we build a life that remains unshaken when the storms of life come? And as we walk through this passage, we'll encounter three different individuals. And each one teaches us an important truth about building a life that will stand, a life of stability, which leads us to our first point this morning, the builder who stood. Notice the builder who stood with me in verse 24. The Bible begins by saying, therefore, whosoever. Therefore is the bridge here. It's linking back to all the previous teachings that Jesus has given. Like I said, for three chapters, he's been teaching this crowd, teaching this multitude, and he's saying, therefore, here is the conclusion. This isn't a new thought, but here's the conclusion of this matter. Here's what you need to know to go along with these teachings. So he says, therefore, whosoever. Whosoever is the invitation this morning. He's saying, whosoever will listen, whoever is hearing my words, this applies to everybody in every time. This wasn't just for Jesus' disciples or the religious people or the mature believers. And there are no exceptions to God's love this morning. God loves all. He is the creator of all. But also, God's truth is true. It is firm no matter the day, no matter the age. Whether it was the 1600s or it's 2026 or 2080, God's word will and always will stand firm. God's love and God's truth, they are unchanging. They are always stable. And whosoever is the invitation, whosoever will hear, whosoever will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. No one is exempt from these truths, whether they believe it or not, from the blessings or penalties of what they do with the Lord's commands. Those that reject the Lord's commands, there is chastening. Those that follow through with the Lord's command and what we've been told to do, there is blessing. But notice what Jesus says next in this verse. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Jesus doesn't stop at just hearing his words as being enough. But hearing is important, and it is essential. Paul outlines the importance of hearing God's word in Romans 10:17. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Salvation can only be achieved, be accepted through faith. The Bible says it's not of works. It's not about being a good person. It's not about church attendance, but it's about our faith being wholly in the person and finished work of Jesus Christ. But hearing God's word is not only essential to our salvation. Hearing God's word is essential to our sanctification, which I talked about with the teenagers this morning. Sanctification is the process of being more like Jesus Christ. It's slowly being conformed to the image of Christ. And God's word is essential for us to be in daily, to hear it, to read it, to be memorizing it. As just as none of us would say, oh, I had a great meal 3 weeks ago, that's going to hold me through for the month. None of you had a great dinner for Valentine's Day and you're saying, yeah, I think my next meal, I think I might have that around Thanksgiving time. No one's saying that. We need food daily. Why? To fuel our physical bodies. But But too many times we're content not being in God's word daily. But God's word, reading his word, is spiritual fuel for the Christian life. It's spiritual fuel for our soul as we live and we strive to honor and glorify him. If we're apart from his word, we're going to run out of gas. We're going to get tired. We're going to get in the flesh. We're going to walk away from the teachings of Jesus if we separate from his word. And this is a danger for Christians of all kinds this morning. Just as we need food, we need to stay in the Bible daily, not relying on growth that we experienced in the past. It's easy to talk about the past and say, God spoke to me in this way or God directed me in this way. But how is God directing you this morning? How has God spoken to you lately? What did he show you through your devotions this week? What are you hoping he will show you through the preaching time this morning? It's not about resting in past revelation, past growth. It's about being planted in his word today. Notice what Paul told the believers in Colossae in chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the keys to the Christian life and to walking with God is letting his words and his commands dwell and abide in us permanently. God's word was never meant to just pass through one ear and out the other. God's word was never meant to hear and to leave at the door of the church building. But he's telling the believers in Colossae, the word of God, what you're hearing Sunday, what you're hearing these times you're together worshiping, that needs to dwell in you throughout the week. And if God's word is dwelling in us, it will come out in our actions and the way in which we live. The word of God is not meant to be something we visit weekly, but rather something that resides with us daily. But is the word of God dwelling in each of us this morning? Are our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, are they focused on the word of God throughout the week? Are we allowing God's word to simply pass through us each week? Or is it truly taking up residence in our hearts every day? When was the last time we sat down and didn't just glance over a scripture or look at the verse of the day, but when was the last time we sat down with God's word and we truly sought to study it, that the Lord would speak to us and show us something, that he would give us guidance, that we would rely on his direction and not our own? When was the last time we came to church on a Sunday morning, not just because it's something we do, but because we wanted to hear from the Lord? Because we had a desire for how he would have us to be conformed to the image of Christ. That we would have that excitement and that desire to hear from God. But hearing is only half of the equation this morning. But it's essential for a strong foundation. And Jesus shows us the other half of this equation as we continue through the passage. I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. He says, the one that hears my teachings and the one that does my teachings, he will be likened unto a wise man. Jesus is getting ready to use an illustration here because he understands the people that are listening, the crowd, the multitude, they may not all be Bible scholars, but they all understood the importance of a home. The importance of that home having stability. How many of you this morning think your home being stable on the ground, not going anywhere, is a pretty important thing in your life? Home stability is pretty important. We don't want it going anywhere. We wouldn't want it just disappearing. That's what Jesus is telling these people. He said, think about it this way. And as Jesus begins the story, he says in verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice Jesus doesn't say if the storms will come. He's saying when the storms will come. He's saying in the moment when those storms come, when the rain descends, when the floods come, when the wind blows, when life throws the kitchen sink at us, when it feels like everything in the world is against us, we don't know where to turn next, those storms will come. They happen in every single person's life. Who will be our foundation? Who will we be trusting in that moment? Because we've all experienced moments in which it felt like everything was against us. And faith does not keep us out of the storm. It keeps us standing in the storm. Notice Jesus isn't telling them how to avoid the storms, but he's telling them how to persevere through them. God doesn't promise believers absence of storms in their life, but he does promise stability. Following Jesus doesn't mean that nothing will ever go wrong, that we won't have bad days, that things won't go unexpectedly how we thought they might. But it does mean we have a firm foundation to stand in the midst of the storm. But Jesus continues and talks about the outcome of the house that was built on this rock. And it says, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Jesus says that this house stood tall. It was not knocked over by this storm. But why? Because of its foundation. Its foundation was rock, and the strength of any home, the strength of any life, is the foundation in which it is built upon. Strong foundations stand firm even through the storms of life. And Jesus isn't saying, here's how to avoid what will come. Here's how to get around the trials of life. Jesus is saying, here's how you get through the trials that will come. And the only way to survive the storms of life is to have that sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Notice how David puts his trust in the Lord in Psalm 18 in verse 2. He says this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. David knew who his foundation was. David knew who he would trust in times of question and in times of seeking. He knew the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. He is my high tower. He knew if I am in the Lord and I am walking with God, nothing can hurt me outside of God's will. God's will can be trusted this morning. You don't have to wonder if you can trust God with your life or your plans for tomorrow, because the Bible says he has thoughts of peace toward us to give us an expected end. God has a plan for each of our lives this morning, and it can and should be trusted. The Lord was David's rock, his safe place, the one he trusted above all else. But is the Lord our rock this morning? Is the Lord the one that we run to in times of doubt and hurting? When we're scared and confused, do we run to the Lord before running to friends and family? Friends and family are a gift from the Lord, but they should never replace us seeking his guidance, his direction in our lives. And we cannot rely on the Lord in times of trouble if we do not know him. I've heard it put this way before. A preacher said, if you know the Lord, you will love him. The more you know him, the more you will love him. And I replaced that simply by saying, the more you know the Lord, the more you know his character, the more you're in his word, the more you will realize how trustworthy he truly is. And the wise builder that heard the word and applied the word built his house on a firm foundation. But every illustration has a contrast. And Jesus now introduces us to a second builder. And at first glance, they may seem almost identical, but one decision makes all the difference. Notice, secondly, with me this morning, the builder who fell. The builder who fell. Verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Jesus turns his attention to this other builder, one that heard the same preacher, heard the same sermon, had all the same truth and all the same information. But what was the difference? He heard it, but he didn't do anything with it. He heard the truth of God's word, but didn't apply it in any way. He is not hostile. He is not mocking the second builder. He simply failed to act. And if I may say something this morning, I believe the greatest danger to a believer today is not simply false doctrine or erring from the truth of God's word, although that is a big danger. But I believe the biggest danger facing Christianity and Christians this morning is to hear the truth of God's word week after week, sermon after sermon, Sunday school lesson after Sunday school lesson, without ever allowing God's word to change us. Forever being around God's word, hearing God's word, but never applying it to our day-to-day life, I believe is the biggest danger to Christianity today. And notice what James says in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Notice this last phrase, deceiving your own selves. The Bible makes it abundantly clear, if you are always hearing the word of God, but never applying it to our lives, that we are simply deceiving ourselves. It may make us feel good. It may check off the box. But if we're not applying God's word to our lives, it is profiting us nothing. And we all go through seasons in which we're hearing God's word, but it feels like a dry spell spiritually. And that happened to me a few years ago. I was hearing God's word Sunday after Sunday. I was hearing God's word, but nothing was changing in my life. The exact sermons I was hearing years ago were the same exact ones I was contradicting in my own life at 18 or 19 years of age. And that can happen in each of our lives if we're not careful, but we have to be sure as we hear the word to apply it, to live it out in our lives. But it's not enough to just check a box, to hear the word of God. But as we apply it to our lives, it's going to continue to guide us, to direct us. You see, many people heard the words of Jesus of Nazareth, but few followed him with their lives. Thousands of people heard Jesus speak, but he only had 12 at his inner circle. He only had a few that would follow him and commit their lives to the cause in which he came for. And there's nearly 2.5 billion people that claim the name of Christ this morning. There's nearly 2.5 billion people on this earth that claim the name Christian. As Brother Mike, as you said this morning, it's simply by name. It's simply by word. It's not by practice. It's not by the way in which they are living, but it's all about checking the box. Nominally, I am a Christian. But God desires for us to live a life that is much more committed, a life that is fully and wholly devoted to Him. Because there is oftentimes a disconnect between knowing the truths of God and living out God's truths in our lives. We know we should forgive, yet many times we hold on to bitterness. We know we should share the gospel, yet oftentimes fear keeps us silent in the workplace. We know God is faithful, yet oftentimes we live in constant fear for the circumstances of life. But where is God calling us to move from simply knowing His truth to living His truth this week? What is it that even in this moment, God is pointing to something in your life, in my life, saying, I want you to commit this to me. Apply the truths of my word in this place, in this spot, in our lives. Because knowledge alone has never been God's end goal for believers. But notice what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 15. It says, "For I have given you an example." This is after he's washed the disciples' feet, after the Lord's Supper. He's going to bear the cross for our sins just hours from now. He says, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things," notice this last phrase, "happy are ye if you do them. He says, if you know these things, Jesus gave them the example of serving. This is the ultimate act of service that Jesus, God and creator of the world, came down to this earth to die for the sins of the world, but also to wash the disciples' feet. Remember, Israel, very sandy area. They're always wearing sandals. Probably some really, really dirty feet in this moment. If you're like me, you're kind of freaked out by feet. Don't like feet at all. Don't like dirty feet. Then imagine Jesus washing the disciples' feet after he's just eaten. Well, the act of service that this shows us is the act of service that he was trying to show to his disciples. Go serve others. Love others. But he tells the disciples that the key to being happy, the key to having joy as they are serving, is not only knowing what he has told them to do, but then doing it. Not just to know, but to do. To do what the Lord has commanded us to. See, proximity to God's word is not the same thing as conformity to God's word. We can be around God's word, we can be hearing God's word, but if it never reaches our heart, the will of God is not being fulfilled in our lives. These disciples had heard Jesus speak dozens, if not hundreds of times, but he still gives them this specific command, not to only know, but to do. And the verse, our main verse continues as Jesus likens this man and what he likens this man to. He says, "Shall be likened unto a foolish man." The man that hears but does not do, it shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. He says, someone that is not a doer of the word is seen as a fool before God. Now, we have to be careful because we really have to define fool biblically here. How many of you, when I say the word fool, there's a person that comes to mind in your life? When you think of fool, try to think of someone right now. You say, man, who is a fool? And there's someone that's in your mind right now. They're popping up in your mind. But I need you to do me one favor, okay? If they're in the room with us this morning, don't point to them right now, okay? Just refrain from pointing, but get that one person in your mind that's the fool, okay? But then listen to how the Bible defines a fool. It's not someone with a low IQ. But rather, it's someone who ignores God. Notice what Psalm 14:1 says. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There certainly are actions that can reveal a fool, but the problem is truly at the heart. The heart that ignores commands given by God. Foolishness isn't just the absence of knowledge. It is the refusal to obey truth. To know what is right and to decide to do that which is wrong. And this foolishness Jesus likens to building a house on a foundation of sand. That foundation of sand, I'm sure, might have been fine on a sunny morning when no wind was picking up, when nothing had gone wrong, yet that foundation looked just fine. But notice what happens. Their story continues in verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Just like what had happened to the wise builder, a storm came. The storm was inevitable and came in due time, but the outcome is anything but the same. And when the storms of life come, our foundation is everything. Our foundation, what we're building our life upon, what we're focusing our life on, is paramount. Because what's on the inside will come out. If I had a lemon in my hand this morning and I was going to squeeze that lemon, what kind of juice would you expect to come out? Lemon juice, right? Lemon juice. Now, if I squeezed a lemon and apple juice came out, would you be kind of concerned? If I squeezed a lemon and orange juice came out, would you be kind of concerned? Yeah. Why? Because that's not natural. It's not right. What's inside of a lemon is lemon juice. And as you squeeze that lemon, the juice will come out. But in the same way, when we are squeezed as people, When life gets hard, when circumstances get difficult, when things don't go the way we thought they would, and life starts to put a bit of a press on us, life starts to put a little bit of a squeeze on us, the true us will come out. It's easy to put up a front when times are good. It's easy to put our best foot forward for a short time. But when the storms of life come, the true us will be shown. And the same is true for our foundation this morning. When the storms come, when the circumstances and trials of life come, our foundation will be revealed, whether it was a foundation of sand or whether it was a foundation founded on the rock. But what foundation are we building our lives upon this morning? What is it that consumes most of our time and energy? I was so encouraged as I walked downstairs this morning. I was preparing for my Sunday school class, and there were a couple men talking downstairs. And I heard the one say, you know, all the busyness at the office, everything that was going on. And he said, hey, but it doesn't mean much when you think about it in respect of eternity. Even when we think about our circumstances as we know them today, hey, when we're spending eternity in heaven, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all the temporary things, all the things we're worried about today, we're not going to be worried about those things in heaven. They're not going to mean anything to us. So what is our life consumed by today? Is it the temporary things of this world or the eternal things of God? Because building our life on anything other than the person and finished work of Jesus Christ is like building our lives on sand, here today and gone tomorrow. But after hearing about the builder who stood and the builder who fell, Matthew reminds us that the greatest individual in this passage isn't either builder. But notice our final point this morning, it was the Savior who speaks. Our third and final point, the Savior who speaks. Verse 28 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were caught in wonder. They were overwhelmed. They were struck with wonder, thinking about all that Jesus had told them. And I have to tell you, I would be too. If I heard teachings directly from Jesus, I would be astonished. They had been taught that they were to be the light of the world, that they were to love their enemies. They were warned of false prophets that would come, and so much more. The sermon was over, but a decision still needed to be made. And there are many that are amazed by Jesus, but few that followed him. Not everyone that heard this teaching became a disciple. And it is completely possible to be amazed or enthralled by a speaker or to be in awe of God, which we should be, but to not be applying the truths of his word to our lives daily. Will we move this morning simply from being in awe of God, as we should be, to applying his word to our life? Saying, God, you are wonderful, you are almighty, and Lord, I commit to following your word in my daily life. Not just a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but daily I want to seek to honor and glorify you, to commit to build my life on the only lasting foundation. Will we leave this morning simply impressed by God, astonished by God and his word? Or will we leave committed to building our lives upon it? Because Jesus is not just any teacher, as verse 29 tells us. It says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus taught, something was different than when any other teacher taught. Have any of you ever experienced that? You know, you've had plenty of teachers in your life, but there's one person that comes to mind, and when you think about the way that they taught, the way they connected with their students, it was just different. Jesus was the greatest teacher and is the greatest teacher the world has ever known. For he was and is God with all earthly and heavenly authority. And notice it says he taught with authority and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes knew the law. They copied the law by hand. That was their entire job. That's what they committed their life to. But Jesus Christ was and is the Word of God. Notice what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is speaking of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is the one that we seek to know more. Paul said, listen, I count everything but dung. Nothing else matters if I will know Him more. Is that our heart's cry this morning? To know Him more, to know the Word. Because yes, things can be crazy in today's world. Yes, the storms of life will come. Life will get difficult. But Jesus was, is, and forever will be the foundation in which we must stand if we hope to be unshakable. That's the series we're launching into, Unshakable, finding stability in an unstable world. But how do we find that stability? It's keeping our minds focused on Jesus. Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, Sunday included, every day of the week, focusing on Jesus. That's through Bible reading, that's through prayer time, that's through texting each other, encouraging each other. Hey, what did you get out of your devotions this morning? Hey, what has God been teaching you this week? God placed every single person in the church for a reason. And one of those reasons is to encourage each other. So we say, but Brother Noah, how can I build my life on the foundation that will last? It starts with being in His Word. It continues with putting encouraging Christians around you, encouraging those around you. Spending time in prayer with Him is essential. Because the world has its own agendas. Our jobs will keep us busy. The circumstances of life will keep us busy. But we have to choose to focus on the one that gave His life for us. Because as I've said already, the God, the creator of this planet, this universe, came and died for you and for me. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why would He do that? Because we're sinners. We've all lied. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And a holy God could not let us into heaven because we did not meet His holy standard. But Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross that we could have salvation through faith and faith alone in His finished work. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, and we must stay grounded in it. And this morning, we set out to answer the question, how can we build a life that remains unshaken when the storms of life come? And we learned three important truths about building a life that withstands the storm from three individuals this morning. We saw the builder who stood, not only heard the Word of God, but also followed and applied the Word to his life as a foundation of stone. While we also met the builder who fell. He heard the Word of God. He knew the teachings. He knew what he should be doing, but ignored them and built on a foundation of sand that led to his peril. And we saw the Savior who speaks with all authority and power to save. The only foundation in which our lives are to be built upon. Because the only sure foundation in an unstable world is Jesus Christ. The difference between standing and falling is not the storm that we will face, but the Savior in whom we stand. If you would stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. This is our time of invitation. As we talked about the necessity of building our lives upon the rock, of building our lives on God, of focusing our lives on Him, and we talked about choosing the right foundation to build our lives upon, it's important to realize everyone has a starting point. And that moment isn't being born into Christianity. That moment isn't trying to be a good enough person or achieving some standard. But the moment in which every Christian starts is a time and a place in which they chose to trust Jesus as their personal Savior. And that's true for every person this morning. So I ask, is there anyone in the room this morning that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You're not sure that heaven will be your eternal home. You may have said, well, I was born into a Christian family. That's not enough. You may say, I tried to be a good enough person. That's not enough. The only satisfactory payment for our sins is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Him, I will not call you out. I don't want to embarrass you. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I've ever trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If there's anyone like that now, would you raise your hand? I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You may put your hands down. If you are saved and you're a Christian here this morning, you realize there's always things vying for our attention. Work always has something for us to do. There's always something that'll come up and that will keep us busy. But the only foundation that will last is Jesus Christ, applying, doing what He has commanded us to do. If you would say, Pastor, please pray for me that God would give me the grace and strength to follow through and apply His words to my life. If you would say, I want to apply God's word to my life this week, would you raise your hand? In this moment, pray for me. I want to apply God's word to my life. Hands all over the room. May put your hands down. Dear Heavenly Father, you see the hands. More importantly, Lord, you know the work that you are doing in us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do a work. Lord, that you would, if there's anyone here that has not accepted Christ as Savior, Lord, you would give them the courage to step out, come forward, and hear and to see from the Bible what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done for them. And Lord, for Christians here this morning that seek to honor and glorify you, Lord, give us the grace and strength to apply your word this week. Not to just hear it, but Lord, to do it. To follow you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. The invitation is open. The altar is open. If anyone would like to come forward and pray, if you'd like someone to speak with in the front of the auditorium, the staff is here. Our time of invitation is open. If there's anyone who'd like to come forward or pray in your seats, now is the time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to hear your word. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would be a picture of you to a lost and dying world this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.